Let's be honest. We've all done stuff we wish we hadn't done, right? Whether it's that spring break back in college or that questionable business deal you know you shouldn't have done or that flash of anger that put a wedge between you and one of your kids, we've all done things that we wish we could erase. Well, today we'll learn God's plan for helping all of us break free from the past, find healing, and then move forward with hope. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this international discipleship program, and I'm Dave Drury. Today, Chip continues with Believe, Volume 1 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered, by telling us we're never so far from God that He can't rescue us and turn what we believe is the worst about us to good. Well, as hard as that may be to believe, that's what Chip's going to show us today. Well, open your Bible now, if you have one, to John chapter 4, and let's get going.
Honesty with ourselves and with God is the prerequisite to authentic relationship with Christ. He gently takes her to a place where she has to be honest. Jot down, if you would, in the corner, Psalm 145:18. This has been a transformational, it's one verse, one truth. It says this, the Lord is near to those who call upon Him. That's like praying, right? To those who call upon Him in truth. A little bit later, He's gonna say that the Father is seeking or pursuing ordinary, regular people who would worship in spirit and in truth. This woman's got to understand, you got to come out of your denial. You got to come out of your self-hatred. You got to come out of your lying. You got to come out of all the stories you've told to all kind of people. And we've got to understand, we can't share the truth unless we have it. If you want to have an authentic, deep relationship, you got to cut through all the denial, all the blaming, all the stuff, and get ruthlessly honest with God. My experience with my own self, in my experience even with pastors and missionaries, and my experience with God's people, is we spend an inordinate amount of time projecting, protecting, denying, blaming others, giving people a limited amount of, yeah, it's true, it's just not the whole truth. And we play all kind of games to project that we're a little bit more loving, a little more kind, a little more holy, a little different than we really are. And so instead of the power of God welling up as a spring that flows out into the lives of others, our energy is spent trying to project that we're better than we are. Because we don't want to face, it's a painful thing to face the truth, isn't it? I don't know where you're at in your life, but I will say that ruthless honesty with yourself and God will be the beginning of the Spirit of God. One, making you awake to what, you know what, when you do that, you need a Savior. Right? You know, a lot of people don't come to Christ. You don't need Him. The reason you don't need Him is you haven't been honest about who you really are. The motives, the coveting, the lust, all the rest that we, hey, by the way, if you're human, you got all that stuff. And Jesus leads her gently to a place where what she realizes is I need the truth, but I don't know how to get it. And so in the next section, notice the big idea, the summary is Jesus explains how true worship works. Well, how does this work? This living water, how does your life ever really change? And so He begins to explain to her. He says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. I mean, you have a form of religion and you've got a system, but it's an error. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. God's plan for Messiah, the Savior of the world, is going to come through Abraham and the special people. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Circle the word seeks. We'll come back to it. Why? God is spirit. God is immaterial. God is spirit. He's not a geographical place. It's not on this mountain. It's not some system. It's not some religious stuff. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit, from the heart, not external religious activities, and truth, ruthlessly honest. The woman said, okay, she's going from, look, you started talking about the God stuff, prophet. Let's argue about theology, or, you know, smoke screens, or your mountain, my mountain. And Jesus said, look, I'm not getting into political talk with you. We're not going to talk about types of baptism or whether electric guitars or organs are best in churches, or we're not going to talk about whether you're Arminian or this or that or Calvinistic. No smoke screens. I'm talking about you and your life and your heart. God loves you. And then finally, she gets in this thought. Can you imagine for her? I'll guarantee she's never had a relationship with a man that was meaningful and deep and valued her and saw her as precious. And now this prophet who she thinks says, the Father, God, this distant, probably angry God with rules to keep, Father, you're his daughter. He loves you. He cares for you. You come honestly and from the heart. He's seeking. The word means pursuing. That's why he had to go through. That's why he had to go through Samaria. There was a divine appointment. There's a city called Sychar, and there's a woman that is worthless, and no one cares about her except her father. And so Jesus cuts through, sits on a well, violates nearly everything possible that you could in terms of prejudice, gender, background, race, so that this person that no one cares about could understand there is a Father God, and he's seeking, he's pursuing your neighbor, he's pursuing your coworkers, he's pursuing your kids, he's pursuing. And it's the Jesus in you that needs to show up and not just observe the Bible or interpret the Bible or even apply it to your life, but to communicate it. How? The way he did. Gently, lovingly, caringly, non-judgmentally, but probing to where you get to the truth. And now the lights come on. She goes, I think we got something in common. When the Messiah comes, the Savior of the world, I mean, when that person comes, he'll make everything right. What you're talking about, I get it. Look in your notes. What's Jesus say? He does something that the Pharisees ask him this. The disciples are slow on the uptake of this. This is an immoral woman from a half-breed race, completely rejected by Jews. And of all people, talk about revelation. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. A literal translation, because especially for someone that only believes in the first five books of the Bible, literally it's, I that am talking to you, I am. Anybody remember where the word I am came from? Exodus chapter 3. Just as Nicodemus learned he needed to be born again from above and have a spiritual birth to have spiritual life, she's now receiving the offer. I know when the Messiah comes, you're standing in front of him. Notice the application. Life lesson number 4, true worship is a matter of honest relationship, not religious systems. Jesus is talking about a relationship. He's revealed a completely, completely new view of God. Can I ask you, how do you see God? You know, we're talking about reaching out and loving people and having conversations. How do you see God? Is he a father that pursues you? You know, we often talk so importantly, because it's true that, you know, Jesus is God. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. But how many of you, when you read this week, thought to yourself, well, Jesus got tired. Why? Because he walked for 2 days. Well, Jesus is thirsty. Why? Because he hadn't drunk something in a while. Do you realize that the reason God became not just fully God, but fully human in human form, is so that he could understand. He knows when you're tired. He knows when you feel impatient. He knows when your back hurts. He knows when you're anxious. He knows when life is hard. He knows when you're up half the night. He's not just fully God, he's fully human. So his heart, he was tempted in every way like us. He understands you. And yet somehow we get him so far away. As opposed to when you just come and you're honest and someone really loves you, you know, have you ever prayed prayers like, Lord, I'm really tired. I got a really bad attitude. I know the right thing to do. I don't feel like doing it right now. I know I'm supposed to forgive so-and-so, but this is like the fourth time. Candidly, between us, I like to punch him out. These are the kind of prayers God wants to hear. Instead of, well, I know I should do something spiritual. I'll try, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." If I say seven of them really fast, will it help? See, that's what the religion was then. External performance, trying to please a God that's unpleasable. Now notice, this is so precious. The next big idea is Jesus allows her wounds to be leveraged to bring others to faith in himself. Just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised, understatement, to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Literally, that's an idiom from the Middle East. "Why are you talking to her?" literally is, "Do you want us to get rid of her?" Because that's what a servant would do, be like, "Whoa, this is inappropriate. Hey, boss, you want us?" But they thought, "We're not sure what's going on here," but they've now learned, just shut up. "Come and see," the lady says. Leaving her water jar, the woman goes back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" She's got no platform to preach. Could this be? What do you all think? They came out of the town and they made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And again, you see, Nicodemus, wind, spirit, deeper truth. Water, real water. Food, real food. You get it? So the disciples are living at the very functional level. Could someone have brought him food? I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. The town's about a half mile away. Did he order takeout while we were gone? I mean, this is ridiculous. Jesus says, "My food, what satisfies, what matters, what's meaningful, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What's your food? What matters? Where does your energy go? Where does your time go? What are your dreams about? See, our whatever we think food is drives us. Think of what we do when we're hungry. I've got to get this. And for some of us, when I get my house, or when we have kids, or when I get married, that's my food. But no matter what food you get, it'll never, ever satisfy. What's your food? Jesus said, "My food is to do the will. Nothing will satisfy you, ever, until you understand what is God's will for me, and you do it, and you finish it." Jesus, in response, says, "Do you not know there's 4 months more than the harvest? I tell you the truth, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvest crops free." Notice the metaphor. It's agricultural. You sow, you reap. You sow in about September, you reap in about April or March. And then as you plant in about 4 months, don't you say it's coming? He goes, "No! We're talking about a harvest that comes right now spiritually, and it's for eternal life. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap where you have not worked. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Others, Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist. In this situation, me. And now this woman of ill repute. They've done all the work, and now it's only half a mile out. People from this town are coming out. Hundreds of people are following the lowliest person. And the disciples are seeing all these people, and he goes, "Look, behold, the harvest is ripe. I had to come through Samaria. Before we came here, you all were prejudiced. You wouldn't even talk to a Samaritan. They were half-breeds." It's like some of you. You look at people, and you see their Rolex watch and their Lexus and their big house, and you're intimidated, and you think all rich people are this way. Some other you see people on the corner with a little sign, all poor people are that way. Other people, you see this junky car, and you wonder, what are they doing around here hanging? Other people that says, "Man, that guy's got a Bentley. Who's he think he is?" Jesus says, rich, poor, Asian, Indian, white, black, God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at tattoos. God doesn't look at piercings. God doesn't look at expensive watches and handbags with insignias that tell you you spent $10,000 on them. God looks at the person behind all that stuff. And he says, "I love you." But it's not religion, it's spirit and in truth. And so he's teaching the disciples and teaching us, how in the world do we do that? Notice, he says, "I sent you for what you haven't worked for. Others have worked. many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Could you circle the word believed? I mean, it's everywhere. They've come to faith and put a box around the word because. They believed because. He didn't just have angel dust come down and they all became Christians. They believed because. Are you ready for this? Most of us, down deep, not everybody, but most of us feel like God could never really use me at work or my neighborhood or with the other ladies or with this group or, you know, to be really bold for Christ because one, I don't know enough. Two, I don't really have a platform. Three, there's some stuff in my past that if people sort of probed. So all these reasons why God can never use me. I don't fit in with that group. Now let's back this up. Woman, immoral, half-breed, non-Jew, disrespected. She knows Jesus for maybe 15 minutes. Knows a lot of Bible, right? No reputation because of her testimony. Her living water in her shares, this is what he did for me. I can't answer all your questions. This is what he did for me. Therefore, many did what? They believed. And then notice, it goes on. The testimony was, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay for another couple days. And the disciples, can you imagine them? Oh my gosh, we're going to be staying in Samaritan houses and with Samaritan cups. We're violating everything we learned. We're out of our comfort zone. 2-day revival and Bible conference. Why? Because Jesus had to go through Samaria because the Father was pursuing that woman that most of us thought no one cares about. Who's God pursuing in your network? Better? Who's God pursuing in this room? And maybe you just came for whatever reason to watch something or a friend invited you, and you're going to come to a moment where if you would be honest, he'll forgive you, fill you with his Spirit, give you a brand new life, and take you on a journey. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. But your life's not easy now. He loves you. It's called grace. The final life lesson is God will use even our baggage to bring others to eternal life. He'll use our baggage. He'll use some of the worst things that have happened to us and some of the worst things we've done as we confess and turn from them and ask him to come into our life and forgive us. And rather than being ashamed, we are literally, like this woman, a trophy of God's grace set on the mantle and platform that people could know there's always hope. You're never too far gone. You're never too messed up. You're never too immoral. You've never lied too much. You've never hurt too many people. If you'll be honest and turn and come, he'll forgive.
Chip will be back in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from Believe, Volume 1 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. In this series, Chip's taking an in-depth look at Jesus, walking us through the Gospel of John, the authorized biography of Jesus, if you will. Maybe listening more than once is the key to mastering the truths in these passages of John. Now, to help you do that, the audio resources are discounted and Chip's message notes are free. You can use them to dig into the scripture passages, follow Chip's outline, and take notes as you listen. For complete details on the Believe discounts and Chip's free message notes, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, this was a hard but potentially revolutionary message for a lot of people today.
I'll be right back in just a minute to talk about today's teaching. But as we study the Apostle John's teaching here through the gospel, I can, in the back of my mind, hear some of you saying, you know, Chip, this all sounds really wonderful, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been. Boy, if you ever understood the terrible things, in other words, Jesus could never associate with someone like me. He could never really love me, never forgive me.
And I want you to know, listen carefully, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The fact of the matter is no one is beyond the reach of Jesus' love. But if you believe that lie, it'll keep you stuck. If you believe that lie, you'll never come to receive His grace. Or as a follower, if you believe that lie, you'll think you're a second-class citizen the rest of your life and never experience His joy and His power or be used by Him. Here's what I want you to know. The only way to break lies is with truth. And so what we've developed is what we call truth cards. For every chapter in the book of John, we have the lie outlined, and then we have the truth of that chapter to help you break free. Let me give you an example. For those who feel like you don't measure up, you're unworthy, the lie in chapter 4 is this: God could never accept me or use my life after all the terrible things I've done. It says it right on the card. And right below the card is a little stop sign, stop. And then you turn over the card, and the card says, Jesus wants to accept and use me. He forgave a woman who had 5 husbands and was currently living with a man so He could communicate His love through her to a whole city. Actually, that passage goes on to say He is seeking or pursuing those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you want to be free of your past, trying hard doesn't work. The truth does. Let me encourage you. Get a copy of these truth cards. We'll give you all the information. In fact, get 2 or 3 copies. They're very inexpensive. And go through it with some friends or family. And here's what you'll experience. You'll experience the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Thanks, Chip. Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you go to our website, livingontheedge.org. They're a set of 21 cards, like the ones Chip uses. Each card has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003 or order online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with his application.
As we close today's broadcast, I'd like, no matter what you're doing, kind of at least lean back emotionally and let me talk to you or maybe someone that you know and love that you feel like, no matter what you tell them, they feel like they never measure up. I want you to think about what we've heard Jesus say to this woman who was an outcast, 5 relationships, living with someone, overwhelmed with shame. Here's some questions I want to ask you, and maybe you need to ask someone you love. Do you really believe that Jesus wants to meet your needs? I mean, do you believe He cares about you? I remember talking to my wife who had a terrible, terrible self-image and in the early days of our marriage. And, you know, no matter how many kind things I said to her, they just bounced off like BBs. And I remember just her saying, I know God loves the world, but it's just hard to believe that He loves me. And she'd been through some very difficult times. And what I want you to know is that, yes, you have baggage. I have baggage. Some of us have made very in the world's standards and church's standards, big, big mistakes. But isn't it interesting that this woman is the one that led a whole city to the Savior, that He loved her, that He cared for her, that He accepted her? Now, He didn't whitewash and He didn't sort of gloss over the issues in her life. He spoke clearly, honestly, and she heard and she was accepted and loved. And here's the word I have for you. God really loves you. Stop hiding the baggage. Get help if you need it. And then realize that you can help some people that few people will ever reach because you really understand.
As we wrap up today's program, I want to say thank you to those who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. Your gifts help us create programs, purchase airtime, and develop additional resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge, would you consider sending a gift today? You can call us at 1-888-333-6003, or if you prefer, donate online at livingontheedge.org. Well, next time Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered, so I hope you'll make plans to be with us then. For Chip and everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.